right, guys, many times, all my Archaic veterans, you already know the whole Phoenix history. You know, you understand the Phoenix periodicity. You understand that in the month of May and in no other month, the Phoenix phenomenon occurs. Somewhere in this world, only in the month of May, every 138 years. This perfection should not be in a Newtonian, very natural cosmos where we're relying on tidal forces and all the things that scientists say exist, like gravity and all these little nuances that we learn from intelligentsia. If we take all these things into consideration, the Phoenix, what I promote as the Phoenix chronology, cannot exist. It cannot be true. I'm telling you this right now as the person who has documented it and has shown you an abundance of data points and data sets showing that it indeed is occurring. It's very subtle edits and changes, very changes to our holography that are often completely masked in natural disastrous phenomena as if it needs a cover story. That's the Phoenix phenomenon, and you guys are already aware of this, but I'm bringing it back to your attention because it has everything to do with where I'm leading you right now. So we introduce Nemesis X object, which seems to be mathematically very disconnected from the Phoenix phenomenon. The Nemesis X object, it has a perihelion period of 60 years. Now remember, guys, I don't believe there's a real solar system out there. I believe everything in the sky is simulated. But this is the interpretation of the signals that we have received by studying the sky. This is the model that is presented to us. And despite if you don't believe there's a solar system out there, if you believe the sky is simulated, it doesn't matter. In the signals that we've received, we have found that the ancient Egyptians, the Akkadians, the Elamites, ancient Chinese, the Zapotec and the Maya, they all had a very common belief. We don't know why. They're spread all over the world. They're on different continents, different time periods, and speaking different languages, but they all had a core fundamental belief that there was a unit of time that was important to gods that had visited the world in ancient times. And that unit of time was a 60-year period when the gods could be very active in the life of mortals. It was a 60-year period. They based their calendars off this period. And in Sumer, it later became known as the sexagesimal system, by which a lot of people are not aware of this. But the subdivision of mechanical time into seconds, minutes, hours, days, months, and years is not new. We all know the lunar calendars and the old lunar solar calendars of months and years, but the Sumerians have very sophisticated mathematical calendrical tables that show us that they divided the day into 86,400 seconds. That they divided. They used seconds, minutes of arc, and 360 degrees of the celestial sphere to measure everything. They were very sophisticated. So we have this 60-year period, but what's interesting is that it's attached to a 732-year period when the gods are basically banished. They are at aphelion. They're no longer in our proximity. They have no influence. This 60-year period and the 732-year darkness period makes up a total of 792 years. When I had found this out, I had used this 792 years like a template, and I went through all world history and showed you guys in multiple charts and in two published books that many major human depopulations all occurred in the 792nd year. I show you guys where the origin of this great Black Death plague that destroyed a third of humanity. And then a third of humanity was destroyed in 3439 BC when Enki first appeared 12 centuries before the Great Flood, or 432,000 turnings of the stars, Shars, before the Flood. It was 3439 BC. It's known in the historical record as the Gihon Flood. The Nemesis X object appeared in the sky and one third of humanity died in its appearance. This has happened several times throughout the historical record. We are led to believe by analyzing history that through all these calendrical studies and historical studies and traditional studies, when we put all this together, there is a tremendous amount of evidence to show the 792-year period, and that the next period of contact that we have with a reappearing Nemesis X object is November 1st and November 2nd of the year 2046. May of 2040 is the return of Phoenix on its 138-year periodicity. Back to back, they appear just as Nostradamus predicted, just as Mother Shipton predicted. Now, I don't have to say this, but I'm going to, because I got so many new people listening. Go to my Phoenix Archive playlist and you'll see everything Mother Shipton said about it and everything Nostradamus said about it. So we have these two different periodicities, two different chronological histories, two different mechanisms throughout linear time that has completely altered the trajectory of human events, collapsed governments, initiated hidden resets, depopulations, retarded human development. These are very well documented, and we are led to believe that they are different, that they're not actually two different facets of the same phenomenon. And I'm telling you, that's not true. They are the same phenomenon. It's just differently dressed. Evidence of this is the year 522 AD, which was the only year in recorded human history that both objects were seen in the sky at the exact same time. Both objects. It's also what initiated what we call the Dark Ages. The Justinian plagues and all the tsunamis and earthquakes and great darkness that covered the sky, the semi-return of a 25-year-long vapor canopy that appeared in 522 and lasted all the way to the 540s. Every bit of this is documented in the historical record by Byzantine scholars and historians, Roman scribes. It's all there. I show you guys in video after video and in my published books. Every bit of this is known. It's not a secret. What is a secret, though, is that the sky dragons that these authors talk about that cause these things are actually the ancient Phoenix and an object that I call the Nemesis X object, but is an object in Akkadian records that are merely translations of older Sumerian logograms is Nibiru. These two seemingly different objects are absolutely two different facets of the same mechanism, the same engine in the sky that remains hidden. Because you already know, I'm just giving you this information as it's been presented through the signals that we interpret. We are being led to believe these are intruder planets, but they're not. They're hidden in the sky. They are super constructions that we cannot see because this holofield that blinds us and makes us see a blue sky by day and a star-filled sky by night. This illusory shell that encapsulates us completely prevents us from seeing the artificial constructs that totally surround our world like a Dyson shell. So, another key point here is the third calendrical system that I've documented a lot. I haven't really gone in, I haven't done but maybe four presentations on it. But it's the Anunnanur chronology, one of the most mysterious Sumerian timekeeping systems that we've ever uncovered. And the reason, because it's very unknown, is because scholars in the early 1900s debated and came to the conclusion that the Sumerian Nur system must be purely mythological because there is no true 600-year period geophysically or astronomically that has ever been recorded. And this is their determination for dismissing the existence of a calendar in ancient Sumer that was known to involve the Anunna, and that on the 600th year, every single time it appeared, a new great age occurred, and a new great divine soul, either entered or exited this holofield. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because my archaic veterans for who this video was for already know this. You already know all the people and all the phenomena that occurred every 600 years. and what happened and what it means for the last days and when that system ended in 1962 and starting in 1963, what began to unfold. So these three different timekeeping systems all involve this structure. The structure that is very demonstrable, it's there, it's easy to show, and it's going in a certain direction, but they're all woven together. Mathematically, you would not think that if you counted every 600 years going into the future from 5239 BC, and then if you counted every 138 years from the Phoenix from the first time it was seen in 4309 BC, and if you counted every 792 years from the first time that it appeared in 3439 BC, you would not think that these objects, three separate chronologies, would ever merge in the future. You wouldn't think they would, because the dates between, the time between the events themselves, the disparities are too great. But they do. And when they do, very significant events unfolded in human history. The whole direction of human affairs was altered. And this I show in my charts. All my charts go into all these details here. So my archaic veterans, you know that it is my position that, and the reason why I have documented so much material on the Phoenix phenomenon, the Nemesis X object, and the Anunnaki neurochronology, is because these are coded protocols that actually show the unfolding of events through a structured holofield, that we live in an alter reality, not a true reality, that we exist within an anti-arithmetic, not a true mathematical construct. This is where we're going with this. I'm going to reveal something new today about this construct. So what makes these calendars and all the other calendars of the ancient world so unique is that we have been able to determine that they were all day count systems in the ancient times. Nobody cared about years. The largest unit of measurement that was employed during the vapor canopy period was not a year. It was a lunation. It was lunar cycles. It was during the reign of the goddess. And it was during the reign of the priestesses. And the lunar reckoning was matriarchal. The year and the solar cycle only happened when that world ended in a cataclysm, known as the collapse of the vapor canopy, or the great flood, or the day the sky fell. When that occurred, then the sun was born and it started all the solar calendars. It started the sun ages of the Vedic and of the ancient American systems. The first sun, the second sun, the third sun. Remember, the apocalypse is the stone, is represented on the stone of the fifth sun. Which Mesoamerican scholars claim it's Aztec, but it's not. It's Toltec, but it doesn't matter. It's a 22-ton giant basalt disc that has the future of the world in glyphs, which mirrors what we know in the Book of Revelation. It's really fascinating. So this was a day count system. This was 360 days per annum. And I'm not going into detail here because it's not necessary, but you already know. I have multiple videos citing all these sources that every civilization in the ancient world used a 360-day diurnal calendar, meaning the rotation of the stars for one turning, the appearance of one sun was a day. 363 was a day, and it took 360 rotations to equal a year. And nobody changed their calendars like we do today to account for the seasons before the flood, because even Genesis remarks that the seasons didn't exist until after the cataclysm. So, and then after the cataclysm, it was still 360 days a year. It was too perfect. So we have this system that as humans become more and more complex, able to understand more and more of the complexities of the world that we were in, suddenly the system, aware of that, introduced a complexity that was sufficient to mimic something that was truly natural. And that is 713 BC, and it introduces a fourth calendar. This is the chronology of the dark satellite. The dark satellite appears in our world every 394.5 years, which is exactly 144,000 days. The dark satellite has been doing this for a very long time. When it appears, it creates whole entire alterations in the holofield. It is the origin of the division of tongues, the Tower of Babel story. It is the origin of the division of the calendar in 713 BC and totally changed the 360-day year to 365.24 or 25. So, days, a year. This is when 713 BC, which was an actual backdin of the Mayan long count, this is when all the calendars in the world had to change. This is also direct evidence that we're living in a holography and we're not living in a natural physical realm, a physical universe. My archaic veterans, you already know. The change from 360 days to 365.24 days after 1,000 years would have altered the 138-year periodicity of the Phoenix so bad that it would have never been able to reappear at all in 246 AD, 378 AD. It would have never been able to show back up in 522 AD, in 660 AD, in 798 AD, in 936 AD. It would have never been able to appear in 1074 AD. It would have never been able to appear to initiate the Children's Crusade and the mass vanishing of children all over Europe in 1212 AD, or 1350 AD, or 1488 in the year that Mother Shipton was born. The Phoenix phenomenon would have never occurred in 1626 AD and did some massive restructuring of North America, changing lakes and emptying shallow seas and creating great lakes and doing all this destruction throughout North America just decades before Europeans began expanding all over North America. It would have never been able to appear in 1764 AD for astronomer Hoffman to see it through his telescope and enter it into the Royal Astronomical Records as a visitation of Vulcan, which was also seen by 500,000 Europeans as it darkened the sun. It would have never reappeared in 1902 and initiated all the strange things I have in five different videos on 1902. It would have never been able to do that if we lived in a physical, real universe, because the change of the year from 360 days to 365 days would have completely changed the 138-year periodicity, and additional to that, it would have never allowed it to reappear on May 15th ever again. It would have been different days of the calendar. So what we have is an overriding program that's not affecting an original subroutine. The original subroutine is the Phoenix holography. It's unaffected. But the overwritten program changes all other calendars in the world and the very way humans perceive the unfolding of historical events, timekeeping systems. But the Phoenix remains unchanged. The Nemesis X object holography remains unchanged. The periodicity of the dark satellite remains unchanged. These things still appear as they're supposed to appear, according to the original chronology, not the amended version that something introduced. Remember, God is not the author of confusion, something else is. So, we have, throughout all the archaic research we have, I mean, I even have a very old video, a lot of you have liked it, that shows you that the title of the video is Reset Theory is Nothing New. And I go and I show you all these ancient citations from authors living 2,000 years ago who were talking about the same thing we talk about today. I'm talking about even 2,400 years ago, they were actually putting in their books the very things and ideas that we discuss on YouTube on a daily basis. Reset Theory. So, resets and mud floods and these periodic cataclysms. Listen, guys, these are system purges. This is when the accrual of artifacts has become a problem. artifacts or residual programming that are that belong to a prior age. A prior age to human perception, but to the construct, it means fossilized artifacts from a pre-existing program that is no longer running. So when these artifacts begin accruing, there comes a need for a reset. There comes a need for a system purge. We on the inside of the construct perceive these purges as natural disasters. We perceive them as all kinds of phenomena that's detrimental to us. It ends our lives, it ends our communities, it ends our cities. But while all that is happening, men and materials that are no longer deemed needed inside the construct are taken away. And this is why the historical and archaeological record often don't mix. They don't make sense. The things we find in archaeology aren't really comported with what we've read from all the material that's been passed down to us. And it's because of these edits. It's because of these really unique things we find, ooparts, out of place artifacts, things that are discovered that are not supposed to be where they at. In addition to that, we have a lot. From the 1700s all the way up to 1920s, we have actual newspaper accounts from all over Europe and North America and the Carolines Islands, Australia, everywhere we were colonizing. Europeans were colonizing the entire world. We have all these local records of amazing things that have been found. But in the collective records, we don't find them, and none of those artifacts can be located today. So call it Mandela effect, call it synchronicity, call it deja vu, call it whatever you want to call it. I've told you guys in the past, these are all evidence that we live in a controlled, computerized, maybe even an analog digital universe. It's far more sophisticated. These are just modern frames of reference I'm using, but it's far more sophisticated than we're able to convey. So we have to think in terms of virtual reality. We have to think of terms of in simulation. But what's happening is actually far more complex, because the very apparatus by which we experience all of this actually helps. It's a part of the architecture of deceit itself. Our brain and central nervous system is moored to the very lies that we are perceiving. And yet we have to jack into those. Our immortal soul has to be jack into those in order to feel this physical universe, to enjoy this construct, to go through it. Everything from memory wipe to a total restriction on spiritual abilities is what we suffer by the series of filters called the central nervous system. It's a beautiful construct, but it's a total lie, and we have to participate in that lie in order to enjoy it. So, This by studying all these ancient calendars, this is how we've been able to see that the things that our astrophysicists and our physicists and our theoretical physicists, these major ideas and concepts for which they think are original, that are actually in the thought field of the simulacrum itself, they pick up on these and they come up with these awesome ideas and all that, and many of them are right. One of them led to the discovery of the fine structure constant. But again, the fine structure constant is evidence of the Phoenix holography, and I've already gone into that in other videos. But it still implies structure. Structure implies coding. Coding is programming. So we have the structuring of involving this Phoenix holography, Nemesis X object, and the dark satellite. These three lines, if you took a chart like I've done, and some of you have seen those charts, but if you take a chart and you run one line for Phoenix, one line for Nemesis X, and one line for Dark Satellite, and then you ran a line for each time that any of them coalesced on certain years, you would see the major changes that happened in human history. But you would also see some very interesting patterns that are structured only in 3.416 and 1.618, you would see that pi and phi seem to be major coded protocols that basically collapse or continue reality tunnels. And Pi and Phi seem to be the structuring of this holography, the way that things change their coordinates within the structure that we are able to perceive. So these events in Pi and Phi we see are always supported in some way, like the ripples of a pool of water. And we know this as palindromes. This palindromic sequencing is everywhere in the historical record. There are events that look like they're unrelated to other events, but there's an equal amount of days or weeks or months or years that links it to another series of events that it mirrors. And yet, we can use that exact same amount of ripples or years and predict when the next time the same series of events will unfold. So all these systems, the Phoenix, the Nemesis X object, the Dark Satellite, Mayan Long Count, all these different ancient modern calendars, even the Anno Domini system, they show that all this structure. And the more we analyze this structure, we see coding. I don't know. I've never seen a DNA strand, but I hear from people who claim to know that DNA is structured in palindromes. And I hear from other geneticists, they've published whole books talking about DNA is widely misunderstood. It's pure coding, and it's very sophisticated coding. Okay, well, one thing I know is that if something is coded, then a coder is required. And that's all I want to get. That's the only point I want to make about programs and coding. Anything that is coded means there's a coder. And the reason this is implicit is because it is the exact opposite of what we were told in uniformitarian science, which is everything is developing. You know, I mean, somebody made a real good comment in the chat a while back, you know, if evolution was true, why are there still monkeys? So I laughed because it was humorous to me, but it's a very deep statement. I mean, it's also the flash frozen fossils that we have found in the archaeological record. They're still the same creatures you find in your backyard today. So if evolution is true over hundreds of millions of years, why are these little creatures trapped in resin that has been fossilized into semi-precious stones still in our backyards today? So something created that coding, and it's unchanged. It was perfect from the beginning. It stayed the same way now. So with the golden mean, Pi and Phi, to me, we have these calendars that are amazing, but they dictate what's going to happen at certain times. Meaning, the 137 years between the 138 year events, though that little time period, the Phoenix phenomenon is not going to occur in its full force. It may be some smaller epicycles, but nothing's going to occur. So all these little palindromes and Pi and Phi patterning that goes on in these other periods of time, to me, they're governors. We are actually looking at governors. Governors are codes. These codes make sure that other things keep doing the very things they're programmed to do. That is the whole purpose of a governor. I'm not talking about a ruler over a bunch of people, guys. I'm talking from a mechanical perspective. Many of you, all you auto mechanics, know exactly what I'm talking about when I'm talking about governors. But even in computer programming parlance, the term governor is understood. It's like a restrictor plate. It's not going to let you go a certain speed. So these are governors. But all this, everything I'm telling you guys is structure, 100% structure. And structure implies construct. It does not imply nature. Nature is almost the exact opposite of what we experience. Yes, we perceive nature. We see it all out there, what we're told to interpret it as. But natural events aren't what are happening around us. The events that we experience are coded. And there seems to be two overlying systems of protocols that are operative at the exact same time. And there seems to be an ability to phase in and out of either one at will. and I've told you guys this many times, this isn't even advanced. You already know, the collective is a part of the main coded apparatus. And it's the easiest to fall for, it's the easiest to follow, it's the path of least resistance. But then there are other subroutines, a whole nother patterned holography that you can enjoy, but it takes a little effort, but it's worth it, because that's when you begin to interface with the co-creative dynamic of the simulacrum, and you're able to build your own world and the worlds of others that you come in contact with. Yes, this is the personal, this is the highly individualized soul taking back the reins of its own existence. I talk about that all the time. It's not the subject matter of this video, but I had to mention it because we're moving away from the natural order that has been imposed on us through science, and we're moving into this area of a programmed reality that is completely governed by coded protocols that have certain functions. Once we begin to understand that the events around us are unfolding according to computerized programming templates, then things begin to make sense. Mandela effect is no longer a mystery, it's an edit. Synchronicities are no longer the anomaly, they're the norm. Coincidence is nothing but the recognition of previously unknown laws that are operative in our lives. Everything becomes the opposite of what we expected it to be. We don't live in a real mathematical construct. We live in an anti-arithmetic. This isn't Jason telling you of this. I have read books on physics by greater minds than I that have already postulated many of the things I'm telling you now. I'm just putting them into terms that are more comprehensible. But there are great minds out there who already conclude that we're living in a false mathematical construct. And they even use the term anti-arithmetic. Now, I'm going to go into a little detail here to make you understand some things about our reality from a scientific perspective that actually shows us what these men are talking about. One of them is the existence of the fractal. You guys know of the fractal as being a piece of geometry that's absolutely connected mathematically to a greater whole. It is a fraction of geometry that measures perfectly within itself, but in a higher order of dimension to a whole. And its fractals are easy to understand, especially when you see them visually. It's a piece of geometry, but it infers the existence of the rest of that geometry somewhere. It's just not in perceivable reality. And this is the beauty of the fractal, because the fractal implies it is whole, but in our perception it is not. This means that from the anti-arithmetic perspective, we perfectly, on the inside of an artificial mathematics, we see the fractal only from the anti-arithmetic perspective, meaning the rest of that geometrical pattern exists on the other side. This is what collapse discontinuities are. When pattern recognition, date sequence, predictive analytics, when people are predicting future events based off past precedents, and there are many computer programs that do this for you, when this is done, it is known across the board among all of those in deep learning, machine learning, those who are trying to build AI. AI does not exist. I said they're trying to build artificial intelligence. But the greatest minds in the computer fields of deep learning and machine learning will tell you artificial intelligence X is not even attainable by our science today. It's all marketing bullshit. AI art is very sophisticated. It's not artificial intelligence, though. Yeah, I can direct you guys to some great minds that will break it down. Even on YouTube, there's videos about artificial intelligence X is a fantasy. It does not exist in our reality, and it may not ever exist, and there's reasons for this. Now, but these fractals, they show us the patterning. The patterning doesn't cease to exist because we can't perceive it. That's why we call it a fractal. A fraction of a greater geometry. Of course it exists. It keeps moving into another dimension of arithmetic for which we cannot perceive. Therefore, unable to perceive the rest of it, we think it doesn't exist. So it's only a fractal here. These collapse discontinuities in event trajectories. When I'm looking, I'll give you an example. When I'm looking at the lens of historical events through OFIS, when I'm doing date sequence predictive analytics, I can basically ascertain the trajectory of events based off several events in the past. But there are these amazing and absolutely unpredictable collapse discontinuities. It is when a geometry collapses, or a trajectory like 1.618 or 3.1416, when they collapse, it's inexplicable. It's like, damn, I got this right, this right, this right. All my data points are right. Here's a full data set, but my data set inexplicably ends in a collapse. And then I move on to other things. I don't understand why I can't see beyond the now from that perspective. And then when I'm doing other things and I'm measuring other, and 2 or 3 weeks go by, all of a sudden, that same trajectory of events is fulfilled somewhere else, exactly the way I thought it would happen. But it was a collapse discontinuity. It totally dropped off my radar mathematically. It's gone. Then later on, it reappears, and I'm watching in wonder in my paperwork. Here it is right here. It's because it did not cease to exist, and it did not stop. I live in an antiarrhythmic, and my whole central nervous system, all my perceptive apparatus is only from within an artificial mathematical construct. However, that trajectory of events, that geometry continued on the other side, in the real mathematical reality. It continued to move. And then, when it reached its collapse discontinuity on that side of reality, it continued back in here, which just popped into our existence. But it didn't just come into being. Everything is in a flow. Everything is in a continuum, and there are no stops. It's only the illusion of a stop. And when you begin to study historical events from the lens of collapse discontinuities, calendars begin to make sense. Why they suddenly popped into existence and why they fade away. And why similar events that were measured on those calendars pop up again in the future. But all of a sudden, it's the same arithmetic. It's the same type of timekeeping system. It's the same culture. It's just a different time period. It's even the same events, but they call it a totally different calendar. I told you guys many times in the past, calendars aren't what you think they are. They are the very protocols that contain us. So this is the beauty of the fractal. This is the fractal implies two things. One is collapse discontinuities. The perceiving of a pattern in our reality, our anti-reality, that then pops into the real reality. And the mathematical construct is perfectly perceivable on the other side by whoever's aware on the other side. And from on the other side, they can see the full past of that pattern. They can see the full future of that pattern. And everything that occurred in the anti-arithmetic, which is where we are, isn't even mysterious to them, because they can see the whole, we can only see in part. Now, the fractal also implies basically infinity. Many of you are familiar with the Mandelbrot set. The Mandelbrot set is the study of geometrical ratios and relationships that never end. The more you magnify, the more you come back into the same series of coding, of protocols, of events, of structure. The more we study reality, the more we find structure is everywhere. Even where structure vanishes, it continues. We're just unable to perceive it from this side. So This is where we get our seers, our prophets, the people that are able to ascertain future events based off past predicates and past phenomena. We find these people mysterious. We find them very enigmatic. Some people are scared of them. There's a fear factor involved because they don't understand. Somehow, these people have been able to disengage from the avatar and see things as they really are. Because as long as you're jacked into your avatar, you are in the anti-arithmetic. You're in the false reality governed by protocols that are designed by somebody else on the outside of the construct. That's exactly the problem that we have with seeing an accurate past and determining an accurate future. But those able to disengage from the central nervous system, those able to temporarily basically have a spiritual override the protocols that govern our existence, those people are able to pull information out of the thought field, out of the neutral field of the simulacrum. They're able to transcend this anti-arithmetic and see where the fractal equivalents continue in another dimension of arithmetic. They're able to understand future events, not sequentially, but they understand the patterning. They get it. Because remember, guys, our minds are not in this construct. We're not. We're immortal beings basically using avatars to pass through all this artificiality. This dungeon programming of the demiurge. That's where we're at. So the immortal being who is able to disengage from the present, which is controlled by artificial constructs, is able to see through that barrier that separates the real from the imagined, and able to see the trajectory of events even as they unfold on the other side, to ascertain where they're going to pop back into our existence in this field. So when we start viewing reality like this, guys, as a mathematical construct and an anti-arithmetic, everything makes sense with calendars, but not only with calendars. Just like I said, now we understand fractals. We understand how Mandelbrot set really teaches us. We understand even deeper things like retrocognition. We understand the ability, we can even understand, because this is a holofield, how to remember historical events that we didn't even participate in. Nothing is really distanced from us in a holofield. And once we fully grasp that when we're observing phenomena and events in our world here that suddenly just drop off, and there's no evidence of what direction they went or what's going on, this is a collapse discontinuity. You have to take into consideration that series of events still occurs. It's unfolding in another dimension of arithmetic, and it will pop back into our existence. And these coordinates, it takes a lot. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. Believe me, it's taken me years to develop my Office software. It's not easy. But you can determine the basic coordinates of when a collapse discontinuity will be over, and that same series of events will continue at a different time. And the system, whoever designed this, whoever put this beautiful construct together, actually created the illusion of randomness. But there's nothing random about it. Because while events are unfolding here, they're not unfolding on the other side. And while they pop out of existence here, they pop into existence over there, and they continue on. And they may be baffling those who are on the other side. But we're on the opposite side of the very events that we lose contact with. This can be whole historical episodes. It can be a whole future periods. But anyway, this basically, it flips what we understand about prophecy. It flips what we understand about history. Now, it may be even direct evidence of why we find prophetic literature is often written in past tense, which doesn't make sense. Why would you venerate ancient texts that are telling you about future events but using past tense? Doesn't make sense, unless you enter retrocognition, unless there really isn't a direction, unless the study of the further you go back into the historical record, you will appear in the future. The further that you study eschatology and prophecy, and the more you document about what is going to occur in the future, you will reach the destination called the ancient past. You're going to find that we are in a circle, 3.1416, but that circle never quite closes because it's arced at 1.618. Phi and Pi, these beautiful coded protocols, they are absolutely programming dictates that govern the unfolding of events within our reality. They keep us baffled, but they're never unbroken. These are the governors that basically measure the trajectories of the events of our life, the reality tunnels that we're living in and that we create and build for ourselves are governed by these protocols, these little epicycles we call life and these great cycles that we call life sims. Everything's happening in here. And that one little break, like the fine structure constant, that one little break before it becomes 138, that's the exodus, that's the escape point. That's when somebody can actually leave the construct. That's when there can be an exchange of men and materials between the anti-arithmetic reality and the real arithmetic. Yeah, so those of you new to my channel, you have to understand, you're going to read things about ancient cataclysms. You're going to read historical. My whole channel is dedicated to showing that we live in a simulation by study of the historical record. I wanted to come from a different vantage point. There's too many physicists, there's too many scientists that are all talking about simulation theory. There's too many content creators that are now all talking about simulation theory. From the very beginning of my channel, I wanted to approach the topic from a very different perspective, using the historical record, which is supported by worldwide chronological systems and the study of timekeeping systems and calendars to show that we live in a simulated context. This is the whole idea of archaics. So you're going to see in my videos, I'm always talking about history. I'm always talking about things that happened in ancient times. But when we get down to the real meat and potatoes, there's a tater in them onions.